independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Yankees are a tier ahead of the Astros, according to ESPN, according to Jeff Passan, who throws a little asterisk next to the 2017 season. He's smaller than I thought. I watched the Major League Baseball draft the other day, and you guys ridiculed me for that. He's so awkward.
I watched it, too. I didn't ridicule
you. Remember these little Q&A interviews after the players were drafted? He was so weird.
He's a weird dude. Lisa said the same thing. Lisa's like, what kind of questions are these? Where's this guy coming from? And she didn't know the history of who Jeff Passan was or anything like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Jeff Passan.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. Anyways, do you feel that the Astros are a tier below the Yankees? Lamont's throwing some counterpoints at us. The only way I can see, and I think he's playing devil's advocate more than anything else, the only way I can see the Astros and Yankees on separate tiers is strength of division. Yankees are the best team in a strong division. Look, that's a good point. There's nobody in the American League East that is below 500. Mm-hmm. Even the lowly Baltimore Orioles. Red hot Baltimore Orioles. They're 500 on the year. So the AL East is better than the AL West. There's no argument there. I would push to the fact that the head-to-head favors the Houston Astros. Like, eye test tells me that the Astros and Yankees are of two very comparable teams. They both have tons of talent. Then throw on top of that that the Astros have proven that they could take 3 of 5 against the Yankees, 4 of which were in New York, 2 of which they flat out gave away. So there's nothing that tells me the Yankees are, you know, a tier above the Houston Astros.
Well, I look at it, too, and say you play the schedule that's given to you. But like you said, when you play the teams that are considered to be the best in baseball, and not only just against the Yankees, but against the Mets, and you compare, like, what teams have done against the best teams in baseball, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the Astros can play with anybody in Major League Baseball and beat them and have a chance to win in every game. And that's something that would tell you with the eye test and whatever analytics you want to bring into it and how much you want to analyze divisions and schedules that they can play. And the other thing that they bring to the table is a resume full of guys that have been there and done that on multiple occasions in the playoffs, in the World Series, on the biggest stage where pressure is nothing, and their ability to succeed and come through year after year, no matter where you finish the regular season, where the Yankees haven't, should tell you that that should give them a little extra feather in their cap as well, mm-hmm. because you're putting guys out there from a Yankees perspective in some key spots that haven't been there or done that yet, so you're looking to see what they can do if given the opportunity to do it yet again.
Fuentes saying we have the resume, E saying it's actually pretty simple. Who's the Yankees' daddy? 713-780-ESPN, then Twitch saying I like the Yankees being a tier better than the Astros by the National. I'm not saying that on the air. They never learn, which is fine. Like, I like that the Astros have that chip on their shoulder, too, and I think that they do carry that chip on their shoulder. All right, so Jeff Passan, ESPN, they call the Yankees the Tier 1 organization in Major League Baseball. Who are other Tier 1 organizations in all of sports right now? 713-780-ESPN. See, I would put the Houston Astros on that list. They're in a golden era. They're a playoff team year in, year out. They've been to the ALCS 5 straight years. They've been to the World Series 3 of those 5 years. I think the Astros are a Tier 1 organization in sports right now. I think the Yankees are, too. I think they both are.
I think that, you know, both can be right, and no one's wrong. I think that when I start thinking about that, the first thing that I would say is sustainability, not just winning on the field, but doing it across the board. And I would say Patriots and Spurs are models in terms of how you run your personnel, your rosters, how you succeed on the field, and then how you take care of your fans in the process. I think both of those teams, as much as I can't stand either one of them, I think they both belong on that list.
I think that the pushback that I would have with the Spurs and the Patriots, and probably more the Spurs, is that they've dropped. They've dropped in terms of, like, the idea of them being championship contenders. Like, the Spurs right now are going through a rebuild,
sure,
right?
Sure, they are, but they take care of they still take care of their fans. They're not blowing their ticket prices out of the water. They're being realistic and honest with their fan base. They
I think
kept
you're
their
looking
big
at it,
three together.
You're looking at it, I think, from, like, a class point of view, which I agree. I think that San Antonio is a very classy organization. Greg Popovich leaving Kelvin Sampson a bottle of wine after shoot around at the AT&T Center when they were in the NCAA tournament. But in terms of, like, I think you have to have the ability to win and contend for a championship currently, too, to be, like,
that's
in
fair.
This Tier 1 organization right now. Because recent memory, Spurs, New England, yes, absolutely. The L.A. Rams, to me, are a team that's right now Tier 1 organization.
No question.
In all sports.
And I look at it, I guess, from my previous life. So I'm looking at it across the board. Facilities, ability, and willingness to spend money both on and off the field. Are you going to go out in free agency and take the big spend and the big deep dive when you have to? Are you going to be frugal and you're going to pinch pennies? are you going to understand that when the window's open, you dive through it with all fours and you make sure you never look back? And I think that when you look at what the Spurs have always done, when they're close, they've gone for it. When the Patriots are close, they've gone for it. And the sustainability to do that and win multiple championships matters too. But also, you know, the facilities that they have, their practice facilities, the way they make it as easy as possible on their players, that all factors in too, is the way I look at it in terms of rating an organization. And then how they treat their employees too. Because you know what? Some teams treat their employees just like they treat their players behind the scenes. And if you're Dan Snyder or you're in with the Panthers organization or some of the others that have really misstepped, I think that's a horrible look. You're right. The Rams under Kroenke have done everything right. And they've got the best stadium in football now, or one of them. They've gone out and shown you that they're not afraid to go spend and get the guys that are difference makers, from OBJ to making sure Aaron Donald stayed to Jalen Ramsey.
I think that you have to have a high element of winning. Like the Rams. So the Rams had the high element of winning. I would put Kansas City in the tier one mold. The Dodgers, yeah, sure. I mean, the Dodgers, they're going to buy their way into tier one occupancy, but that's fine. They belong in the tier one. Are the Buffalo Bills tier one? Because I think that they've played themselves into tier one conversation. Like, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender, I think, for the next several years.
But if we're calling it, if we're grading the organization.
Sure.
I think everything matters. But look, from a relevant football standpoint. No, I mean, look, it's a tougher market. But their fans are loyal as hell. I don't know as much about them in terms of do they raise ticket prices? It seems like they're a very blue-collar, down-to-earth franchise, loves their fans. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to say you're wrong or give you a hard pushback if you put them on the list.
I would go Rams. I would go Kansas City. I would go Buffalo. Chiefs. Green Bay, for sure. Green Bay is a tier one organization. There's no doubt about that. They do it both in terms of, like, you know, being relevant, especially doing it from Green Bay, the ownership, the history, all of that. And they're a winning product. Like, they're a very good football team. I would call the Dallas Cowboys tier one, if we're being completely honest with you. Like, the bells and whistles, no question. They're a winning football team. Like, it's disappointing to Cowboy fans that they
tier
haven't won a Super Bowl in a very long time. Yeah, Dallas Cowboys are tier one. They're America's team, and I hate Dallas Cowboys.
You talk about the revenue and the popularity of the logo worldwide.
And
you talk about
team.
The fact that from Jerry World to the practice facility, which a lot of teams would love, like a lot of colleges would love to call their home stadium. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about all the different resources that Jerry gives this team and how he prioritizes both his fans and his players. They get bitch slapped on the win side of things, the wins and losses side of things, because they haven't done that. But you can't question what they've done as an organization.
I think I just have tighter tier ones than you guys. Like, I would have no problem putting the Cowboys on tier two. I was honestly trying to think, like, in tier one football, there's not a lot that I would look at. I would say Chiefs, probably Rams, and I don't know if there's anybody else in
this
moment.
You're not going Buffalo? You're not going Green Bay?
Green Bay, I would put Green Bay in there.
So why Green Bay over Dallas? Because you take them a little bit more seriously as a Super Bowl contender? Because Green Bay won one more game than Dallas did last year. Why, though? Like, Green Bay won one more game than Dallas did last season, and Green Bay was a major disappointment in the playoffs.
Green Bay was in the conference final. We're 1 year removed from Green Bay being in a conference final.
I also think brand matters here. Like, I think
they played in the last two. They played in the last two conference finals.
So I meant one game removed from the Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills is an interesting one. I think they're going to probably play them way into what I would call the tier one. I just am not quite ready to put them there yet. I think the Cowboys is a comfortable stretch. I didn't even think about
that.
That's
America's team. They have all the bells and whistles. They have Jerry's World, and they're a competitive football team. Like, they aren't a team that's lousy. They're not 8-9, 9-8. They're not the Philadelphia Eagles.
They got a bumbling idiot as a head coach, but other than that, I mean,
and maybe an idiot is an owner GM.
He's not afraid to pay Dak Prescott. He's not afraid to pay his players. And
it took him a while, though.
And try to figure out how he can push the envelope to keep paying others. He takes risks on players that some would question, but it's all about his desire to win. But then when you say the stadium and the facilities and the way they travel and what they do for their players and their fans and how loyal their fans are, I don't know that you can question it.
You could almost sell me in a funny way on Jerry Jones as a tier one owner. Like, I know he can get in the way, but he can also, like, You know he's going to do whatever he feels is right to win.
He's not a tier one GM, but he's a tier one.
Yeah, owner. And I have an appreciation for that. I just don't think they've been successful enough for me to put them in
it's
tier
been
one.
A long time since they've been a legit Super Bowl contender, granted. 0550 says 49ers are tier one. You think San Fran is a tier one organization in sports?
If they're not, they're pretty close. They yeah. have to be. And they've had a lot of success, underrated success in the last couple of years. But they also had a stretch where they just couldn't win the big one, but they kept winning. I think that they're definitely in the discussion.
How about on the basketball side of things? Obviously, you have to put Golden State back there.
No question.
They just won a title. Like, obviously, the conversation starts with the Golden State Warriors as a tier one organization. I'm not really sure there's anybody else in the Western Conference who I would put tier one currently.
Some are going to say the Lakers.
Yeah, but the fact that the Lakers literally just missed the play-in game, I can't put them tier one.
But they
because
have the
of
most marketable, popular, and some would say still best or one of the best players in the game.
And we're 33-49.
I know a year ago. But look, they're not afraid to spend. They're not afraid to keep adding Westbrooks and Anthony Davises and trying to make sure that they never have a downward slide again. Their fan base is extremely loyal. They've got a massive building.
I don't think you can call a team that missed the playoffs tier one, though.
Okay, well then, it depends. Here's how we'd have to weight.
No, it depends on how you view
the different
it, yeah.
factors too. You got to weight how much do we factor in winning and losing as opposed to facilities and money spent on both sides of the business and things like that.
How about Miami, Boston, Milwaukee?
Miami has to be.
I think all three of them are actually.
Boston?
Yeah, I think Boston is. Boston wins enough. They have the brand. They have the cachet.
The brand for sure.
And they just went to the finals too.
Yeah. I look, again, I wouldn't argue that one. Milwaukee, I would question. They've taken care of Giannis. They have the facilities. They've won a championship. Mm-hmm. But they're in a really small market. They have the potential of possibly getting there. But I think that they're on the next level down with a chance to get there. But I wouldn't say that they're in the
you
top
tier. You think
they're
tier. On the way down?
No. I think they're in top tier. I mean, second tier mm-hmm. with a chance to get there.
More sustained
but
winning.
They have to do more sustained winning.
713-780-ESPN. Are the Yankees a tier ahead of the Astros? And who are the other top tiers across sports?
And before we go to the break, I want to wish a very happy birthday to my man Greg Vega Sr. He's going to be a grandpa soon. His son's not getting any sleep already, but they're both loyal listeners to ESPN 97.5 and the show. So happy birthday, my man.
713-780-3776. Who are the other top-tier organizations in all sports? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman's Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who are the top-tier organizations in all of sports? 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. I think the beauty of this conversation, which is something that Brendan, our puppeteer, is always so good at, is that he asks questions that you can interpret in a bunch of different ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Brendan, when he looks at tier one, I think I'm probably closer to Brendan's side of this, is that on-field success matters a lot. But there are other variables, and I think you look at it more like all-encompassing,
exactly.
Franchise value, stadium full, the owner, et cetera, et cetera.
Spectrum. The full spectrum.
And I think, you know, it's up to interpretation. It's a relative thing. Like, you can view it one way, somebody else can view it another. Like Jerry on Twitter just tweeted at you, and he had the evaluation of each organization in sports and how much they're worth. And the Cowboys franchise worth is $5.5 billion, which is higher than everybody else in all sports. The Yankees earn second with $5 billion. New York Knicks in third, just over $4.5 billion. Lakers right around $4.5 billion as well in fourth. And then you have so like Jerry looks at that is like, okay, well, yeah, of course the Cowboys are tier one when they're valued at $5.5 billion more than anybody else in sport. But then you have somebody else answering this exact same question, 1542. The Cowboys as a tier one football team is the most delusional false statement I've ever heard. They haven't won a playoff games in the last 20 years. Nobody is scared of facing them. So it's up to interpretation.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. They're looking at it completely from just a performance on the field standpoint. Because I look at Jerry's list and I say, okay, it's one thing to say their overall value. But then when you look at jersey sales and or the most known, recognizable logos. And Manchester United needs to be in this conversation because Man U has always been, in the soccer world, you know, the top of the charts that everybody considers the biggest of big time and the most popular in the world. But when you look at it and say the Cowboys and the Yankees and the Lakers, I don't think the Knicks are. But those three teams, regardless of what they win or they lose, those three logos are right up there with Coca-Cola and Nike and the most noticeable brands in the entire world. Not the country, the world.
Yeah, so like you can look at it in a bunch of different ways.
Do you guys know how long it's been since the Cowboys have been out of the divisional round of the playoffs?
Oh, I do, because I have to remind Cowboy fans every time they come at the Packers.
1990s.
96, yeah. The divisional round. I was three. Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking for constant Super Bowls. Just like play some big games once in a while.
Says the Detroit Lion fan.
That's true.
Yeah, my team's never played a big game in my life.
713-780-ESPN. Who are the top-tier organizations in all of sports? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Jerry, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, yo.
That's the Jerry that sent us the tweet. What's up, Jerry?
So, like, I'm looking at those values, right? And it's amazing that the Knicks can still keep that value. They're so bad. Their logo is horrible. And who do you think has done worse, the Knicks or the Cowboys, as far as underperforming over a long period of time while still maintaining a high market value? Because they both are horrible.
Oh, the Knicks have done worse.
But I see, and here's where I think you draw the line, Brendan, in the sand. You, as much as you have to commend Jerry Jones, as much as you might think he's annoying on the ownership side of the football team, James Dolan is a primary reason why they shouldn't be considered in the way, with my criteria, the way it factors in, the way he's treated employees and team, you know, ex players and players, and then you factor in how bad they've been on the court. That's the reason why, because James Dolan is such an a-hole too, that I don't think that they should be in the top tier.
I think that the Knicks, see, that's where, like, okay, Dallas, Knicks, they're both valued for tons of money, Dallas more than the Knicks, and I get that the Cowboys haven't played, you know, a significant playoff game or have gotten past the divisional round, kind of cherry-picking there, but they are a playoff team. They are a division champion. They've won enough to also, like, okay, well, now they've won a lot of games, they're valued more than anybody, that's tier one organization. The Knicks, on the other hand, like, they have not won, so they're valued for a lot of money. You know, as much as anybody else in the NBA outside of the Lakers, but have they won enough to be in that tier one conversation with Golden State, with
Boston,
with Miami?
But then as it affects others too, Jeremy, and like I said, it's not just your employees, but look at Dolan. So you treat your old players, and it becomes a media circus, like the way you treated Charles Oakley. You treat Spike Lee, your most known and recognizable fan that's a season ticket holder forever, the way you've treated Spike Lee, and that was documented. Uh-huh. Then you treat the media and the fan base, where if a guy yells something about you, he has security remove you and ban you from the building. If the media says something about you you don't like, you don't allow them in the press conference. You do all these different things that are also publicized, and then you've had employees that have made references of how they were treated and go, that's not a top-tier organization, franchise, or otherwise.
Yeah, like, I get the James Dolan part of that, but you also have Jerry Jones that's, like, paying off mistresses not to, you know, talk about their affairs. So, like, Jerry Jones has some elements of non-class,
clean,
too.
But, no, I get that part. I mean, look, we put the Patriots in, but Robert Kraft, you know, has been rubbing tugging.
3501, Steelers. Steelers is a tier-one organization.
Belong in the conversation.
You know one thing that Brendan's nodding his head saying, yeah, they haven't won
it's
enough lately.
It's a tough
lately.
One, but because they have the winning not that far, you know, what? Less than 10 years?
Yeah.
I'll let it slide.
The thing that I love about Pittsburgh.
Okay, Judge and Jury, you'll let it slide. Look at from their head coach, their sustainable winning of their history, the fact that they've still been able to win even when their players have kind of fallen off, the fact that their fan base is extremely loyal and they're known worldwide. I don't know how you argue
I'm okay with the Steelers. I just think that they're on the
they might be on the
fringes.
Way out. They might be on the way out,
right.
Too.
They're on the way to a rebuild.
Now, one of the things that I love about the Steelers is how they hire people and let them go to work.
Yep.
And they get out of their way and they give them a long runway, which I think is critical to long-term success.
Tomlin and Belichick, the two longest-standing head coaches in the league. Tomlin might be number one.
Tomlin longer than Belichick?
No,
he's not longer than Belichick. Because I think Belichick was having matchups with Cowher. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Belichick.
Okay.
I'm
said one
pretty
and two.
Confident.
I didn't know if he had more, but they're definitely right there.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 1542 said, I think you just contradicted yourself. There are teams that make the playoffs and teams that win playoff games. If you can't win playoff games ever, you are not in the top tier. Cowboys have won playoff games ever. So, like, that's why I would give them on this list, whereas I'm not putting the Knicks on the list.
No, yeah, look, I think that, like we say with everything else, criteria matters. We don't know the criteria for the Hall of Fame. We don't know the criteria for MVP voting. We don't know so many different awards given away or, you know, tiers given away without knowing the criteria. And we just kind of threw this out there for you guys to interpret it as you wish. But I understand where you do have to have some winning. But the Steelers and the Cowboys forever and a day were the two most recognizable franchises in the NFL. And they haven't gone away. And the Steelers have won a Super Bowl more recently than the Cowboys. But the Cowboys are still, from a ratings perspective on television, with the national games and everything else, they're there every single year.
9754 says the Lightning, the Bucks, and the Rays. I wonder where 9754 comes from. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. How's that Twitter gel treating you?
Hey, man, I just need you guys to put some money on my books, man. Just put some money on my books. Yeah, I had a little political dust-up with a person, and they got me. They took me down. But anyway,
who was
man,
it?
It was actually Rick Smith's brother. I'm friends with Rick Smith's brother, Frankie Smith. And we go back and forth. He's a big-time Democrat, and I'm not. I'm not associated with no political party. Now, I'll leave it at that. But anyway, I have the Steelers. I think the Steelers are a top-tier organization, even though they haven't been winning. But those guys are a force in the in NFL. However, I mean, I was really calling about this whole New York Knicks and how they valued and stuff. And I'm not sure if that's a representation of that organization, because we got to also consider $5 billion in New York. I mean, we talking about prime property up there. This is not a representation of what the Knicks really are. I mean, it's just a fact of their geography. I think if the Knicks. Take the Knicks across the George Washington Bridge or the Lincoln Tunnel into Jersey and tell me how much they're worth. That's all I have, fellas.
That's a good point, Lamont. Like, especially in this economy, right, with the current inflation. Yeah. And people moving to Texas all the time. Why are they moving to Texas? A little better cost of living than out in California, in New York.
We always compare houses in California and houses in Houston. Try and compare your house in Houston to any living space in New York. You're living in a cracker box, literally.
Yeah. No, that's a good point from Lamont. Like, their valuation, I think, does have a factor that it's up in the Northeast, and it's right there, Madison Square Garden, the Mecca in New York. 1290 saying Atlanta Braves. Delete your account. I'm still not over that. 4608, how about J-Lo? She's got more rings in the last decade than the Cowboys have. She's on her way to a few. The Tampa dude says he's from Houston. So, all right, you're from Houston. You appreciate Tampa Bay.
Time out. Have you looked at the home attendance figures for the Rays over the last several years?
They're on the wrong side of the bay.
Well, that's their fault, not ours.
I went to a game at the Trop a few years ago. It's like watching a game in a library.
It is brutal. They don't draw. Their building is a freaking pinball machine.
Yeah.
It is a rinky-dink amusement park ballpark.
You know why they built it?
No.
They were trying to lure the San Francisco Giants to move there, and that's why they built it.
And that's what they thought was going to get them?
Back when they built it, it was,
okay.
I mean, I wouldn't call it state-of-the-art, but it was obviously better relative to then than it is in 2022.
Since you know why they built it, can you answer me the question of when are they going to tear that thing down?
Hopefully soon. Although they were trying to play half their games in Montreal. That was weird.
Which was ridiculous, too. But, yeah, there's another reason why they're not in the top two tiers.
Yeah, they need to move to, like, Virginia or something. 713-780-ESPN. Nashville sounds good. Yeah. That'd be really good. What is the grossest thing that you'll eat or drink, or what are the grossest things in food or drinks that you've seen? Skiller Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Will Levis, he is the Kentucky Wildcat quarterback entering this season.
Keep an eye on him if you're a Texas fan. Yeah.
Projected first rounder. Although there's some things he's been doing recently that maybe don't make him as attractive to some as he once was.
Undraftable.
Wait a minute.
I agree.
Wait, based on our Jimmy G conversation earlier, what do you mean by attractive?
Will Levis?
Yeah.
I'm talking about attractive in terms of what he is as a quarterback prospect.
Okay, I'm just verifying. It's not in a Subway commercial or his beauty factor.
Not as stunningly good looks, according to our female listeners. 713-780-ESPN. Blankers wants to know which men you find attractive
in
sports.
No, not me, you.
713-780-3776. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But anyways, Will Levis puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
Ugh.
He did this the other day, posted it on Twitter. Twitter went nuts. I actually did a little bit of a deep dive on this. Like, why does he put mayonnaise in coffee?
To smooth it out.
And apparently some people have already done this. Like, 2017, there was, like, an MSNBC guy that did it, and he went viral over doing it as well. It does, like, have you ever had bulletproof coffee where you put the butter in there and you put, like, some amino acids, and it's like, okay, get your body going. It's,
no.
Like, big with the keto diet.
Really?
I've done the bulletproof coffee. I've done the butter in my coffee. I've done the coconut oil in my coffee. I've done that trying to see, like, okay, let me be a tough guy. Bulletproof. Yeah. It's terrible. I did it once or
Sounds
twice,
terrible.
And I was out. I couldn't do it. So I think that's why Will Levis is doing it. You get some fat content. You get a little bit of dairy if you don't have a little half and half.
I was going to say, if you look at the fat content in half and half, that kind of creamer, then it's probably a push.
I think it's a keto I work out type of thing. Like, I think that's why Will Levis is doing it. It doesn't make it any less disgusting. Like, it's still very, very gross. But it begs the question, 713-780-ESPN, what's the grossest food combo that you've ever seen, could be drinks too, that you have ever seen Will defend or that you do? 713-780-3776. Do you have any? You eat such a clean diet, though.
No, but I also get killed for my love of ketchup because I'm not afraid to put ketchup on anything from
you were putting
baked
it on,
potato.
What were you put? You put it
baked
on a
potato.
Baked potato the other day, which is like blew my mind.
I can put it on eggs when necessary.
Yeah, that's common. That's common.
Yeah. Grilled cheese.
You put ketchup on a grilled cheese?
Oh, I've grown up my whole life putting ketchup on a grilled cheese. And I've had this argument with people in the past. If you don't think that it's nasty and you like grilled cheese and tomato soup, well, essentially, ketchup is a version of cold tomato soup.
What a weird reach.
I have a ketchup one that I think is gross, and I don't know if Joel does it.
Okay.
Mac and cheese.
I've thought that someone was going to say that is what I meant.
I think that's so gross.
I know in the Midwest, there's a lot of people that favor it.
Semi-common.
I can't do that. I can't go that far. And no, I don't put it on steak either.
Whenever I was a very young, like ranch on steak is the obvious deal breaker. Like you shouldn't
that's
be doing
disgusting.
That. Yeah, it's
ranch
pretty
on
bad.
Pizza to me doesn't make any sense.
I'm cool with ranch on pizza.
Ranch on pizza
tastes
great.
Yeah, ranch on pizza is pretty good. Especially like a little stuffed crust pizza. You get a little stuffed crust, dip it in the ranch.
Crust.
It's fantastic.
But not for the, that's just like, I'm not a pineapple on pizza guy.
See, my son loves a little Hawaiian pizza. I don't love a warm pineapple.
I don't love
warm fruit. Like, give me, like, I don't like warm
fruit. Brendan, what?
Yeah, it's not a meal of fruits in it for Brendan. But ranch on pizza is like, it goes hand in hand, especially if you've got a little buffalo wings there. You got a little pizza, you got a little wing, you got the ranch there as a communal dip. It's fantastic. How about squirt, the drink squirt, in a fine cocktail? Which I think is outrageous. I think it's one of the stupidest things you can do is to ruin a fine cocktail by throwing some squirt in there.
Yeah, squirt's a grapefruit soda, right?
I don't know. I've never had squirt.
Oh, I've tried it, and I definitely didn't like it, so I'm completely out on it. But how the hell are you going to kibosh it when you've never tried it?
Well, because you shouldn't be putting something in a fine cocktail that is so lowbrow.
Okay.
How about peanut butter and
gumbo?
I used
to do Crown and Diet Coke.
That's very normal.
Yeah.
Crown and Diet Coke.
The same thing. It's like Crown or Squirt.
No,
I mean,
Squirt is not the same thing.
I mean, Diet Coke or Squirt.
Is Squirt kosher in a fine cocktail? 713-780-3776.
I'm not endorsing that. I'm just saying, if you're okay with Diet Coke instead of regular Coke with a Crown or a high dollar alcohol, then what's the difference if they want to use Squirt as their beverage of choice with a high dollar alcohol?
Well, you shouldn't. If it's a high dollar alcohol, you shouldn't be diminishing it with anything. You should drink it on the rocks.
Okay, gentle Ben. Thanks.
Yeah, it should be on the rocks. A very smooth drink that's don't work through your drink. Enjoy your drink. Peanut butter and gumbo. Anybody heard of this?
Somebody
told me once it was their secret recipe for a gumbo.
No thanks.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I don't think that's a Cajun thing either. Maybe Big C will let us know. How about mustard on popcorn?
No.
I think I would try that.
You would try mustard on
it. I think
it would
make the popcorn soggy, too.
Yeah, it would.
Oh, you have to dip it. You can't, like, mix it in. That would be
disgusting.
Have
to dip it. You would have to dip it for sure. I'm not trying it either way.
I would absolutely try that.
If you put it, like, on the popcorn, it's going to get soft and soggy. That's not good. But if you dip it in there, maybe you're, like, creating the pretzel mustard effect.
The question is, what kind of mustard?
Honey Dijon. No, I don't know what kind of mustard.
No.
I don't know what kind of mustard.
See, I hate regular mustard, but I love honey mustard.
Huh.
I like it all. I like basically every mustard I've ever tried.
I'm not huge on mustard. Like, I've gotten better about it, but still not, like, it's not my wheelhouse. Listen to them middays 3 to 7, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. The one thing that I put in popcorn that I think is kind of weird, maybe it's weird, I don't know. Not jalapenos. Jalapenos I do put in popcorn, but I think that's normal. One
is
thing
it?
That I think so. I think jalapenos and popcorn is very normal. But here's another one that is not as normal that I'd rather talk about. How do you feel about Flamin' Hot Cheetos? In some buttery popcorn. Because I do that, and it is fantastic.
I think you can spice it up.
Fantastic.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's different versions of, like, a Chex Mix, right? The way you can throw in things in a snack bowl, and it makes sense. Because Lisa is big on using different spices with popcorn to give it. It's the same way you get from regular potato chips to sour cream and onion to all the different versions. If you want to spice up your popcorn a little bit with a different kind of spice or, like, you know, throwing it in with some kind of other chip or you know, snack food. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to that.
It is very, very good. 713-780-ESPN. What are gross food drink combos that you'll defend or you've heard of? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Bryce, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, I like Worcestershire sauce and Parmesan cheese in my popcorn.
Okay. I can see that.
I can see the Parmesan, but the Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire sauce.
Want to try that again?
Leon Perrins is fantastic.
That's a nice comeback right
Leon
there.
Leon Perrins is fantastic. Like, I love the flavor of Leon
Big
Perrins.
Big fan of Worcestershire sauce for cooking.
Yes.
But
yes.
Not on popcorn.
It's so strong.
It is strong. You'd have to do the very, very right ingredient. You'd have to be the right ingredient. Now, it's funny because you bring up Chex Mix and he brings up Leon Perrins. Like, I do like, I learned it from my grandma. A homemade Chex Mix, which you use with a little bit of Liam Perrins, fantastic. If you want to, of course, like marinate a steak, mm-hmm. Liam Perrins.
No question.
So I love the
or
flavor
chicken
of
breast,
Liam
a lot of things. Yep.
It is a catch-all.
Yep.
You do have to be careful because it is very, very strong. And I'm curious if it's like, certainly you're not putting it in the bag, right? Because that will make it mushy and soft. And I don't want my popcorn mushy
and
soft.
Yeah, I absolutely don't want that.
Yeah.
I'm all for flavoring popcorn. And I think Parmesan cheese is an interesting twist to it. I just don't.
That sounds pretty good. Maybe it melts a little
melts
bit, too.
Melts a little bit is what I was thinking.
7560 says squirrel head gravy and biscuits. I'd try it.
I wouldn't.
I'd try it. I'm not sure it'd be any good, but I would try it. 8029, pineapple on a pizza is a travesty.
Yes, it is.
Mac and cheese and barbecue sauce. This is pretty common with, like, as a side at some barbecue joints. I think it's fantastic. Nope. I think it's very good.
I'll pass.
I've never had barbecue sauce itself on mac and cheese, but I have had mac and cheese mixed with pulled pork.
Oh, yeah.
And that is very good. And that had barbecue sauce on the pulled pork.
Yeah,
see, like, what about, like Rocky Mountain oysters? Pass. No reason, any way, shape, or form that should be a delicacy or a food that someone should want to eat when you have other options. Just like all the foods that involve brains. No, I'll pass on all of that. Liver, too? Disgusting.
The closest thing I'll come to brain is babacoa. But that's like the old school traditional babacoa. They've kind of doctored it up to where it's not the same. Babacoa is my favorite breakfast dish.
I know
it
you speak
delicious.
Highly of it, but you have so many other options, I don't need all that.
It is the best. 0550, potato salad and gumbo. That is something that's very popular. Very popular. I don't do it. But it's good whenever I do. It's not my. I'd rather just have the gumbo than the potato salad than the gumbo. But if somebody handed it to me, I'm going to gobble that down and eat it.
But you also know that I do like potato chips and ketchup. I do pretzels and ketchup. I've taught my daughters to do it, and they love it. And I'll do barbecue sauce too. I'll do separate little bowls of barbecue sauce and ketchup, and then whether you want to use pretzels or potato chips, it's just like getting barbecue chips, or it's just like eating ketchup on your French fries.
You know what you should do is you should do like Amari Stoudemire where you bathe in the wine. You should just bathe in the ketchup.
It's not clean. It's not. Otherwise, I wouldn't. Don't rule it out.
I got to ask for a ruling on one again.
Okay.
I would have never thought of this, but I had an ex whose family did ranch and barbecue sauce with pizza rolls.
Together?
I think it's possible.
Was it mixed in or is it two separate ramekins? That's okay with me.
Yeah, see.
That's okay with me.
Kind of like barbecue pizza or ranch with pizza?
Stutz is the guy you ask about that. Stutz is the notorious sauce maker. He'll take he'll go to Whataburger or whatever. He knows the right combos to use, but he'll mix like two or three different versions of sauces at places.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line again. Tim, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What you got, Tim?
All right, so I'm from the Midwest, and our weirdest combination that my father introduced me to was a peanut butter sandwich, and you dip it in a bowl of chili.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm from the Midwest, and that's a hard no.
Yeah, I don't know about the peanut butter in a bowl of chili. I love chili.
I do, too.
Love chili. Not sure I'm going the peanut butter.
Are you anti-beans in the chili or just either way?
No, I'll eat either way. Me too. I'm not picky. You don't get a body like this by being picky.
I'm not picky either way either. Beans and chili or not in chili. If you guys want to make it a massive debate, go ahead. Yeah. Fight on your own time.
Give me both.
Either way.
Yeah, give me both. 8437, spaghetti with ketchup and mayo. Nope. My wife ruins her plate of amazing spaghetti I make every time because her dad got her hooked on eating it this way. I'll never understand it. That might be the most disgusting way to ever eat spaghetti I have ever heard.
I agree completely. But I also, again, going back to the ketchup thing, the other thing was I grew up in a household that was very, very, very poor. Okay? So because of that, my mom put something on the table. You had two options. You ate it or you went hungry. So ketchup was my savior. I put it on rice. I could put it on rice and get away. That could actually be that used to be a meal for me just to get through a meal if my mom made something that I just absolutely wasn't going to eat. So, but spaghetti, I've never heard that.
Yeah. See, that's kind of, it's almost like a Cincinnati thing, right? They put the chili on their spaghetti, which isn't terrible. It's not my favorite way to do it. But again, you don't get a body like this by saying no to a whole lot of things. 2124, I put Doritos in my PB&J sandwich.
Not on a PBJ, but a lot of people do use as a flavor
on a
regular sandwich.
But a PBJ?
No.
Does it matter, too, if it's like nacho Doritos or Cool Ranch?
I would try nacho Doritos on a PB&J.
Cool Ranch might be
on
weird.
On a PB&J?
I would try it.
What about banana?
A banana on a PB&J?
Banana and PB&J.
I mean, I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah, my mom would do peanut butter banana or peanut butter jelly and banana. I didn't really care for that either, but I didn't know. Some people think it's gross.
Would she do the ants on the stick?
What's that?
Where you put the peanut butter in the celery and you put little raisins on the peanut butter?
No raisins, but definitely did celery and peanut butter and apples and peanut butter.
713-780-ESPN. What's the grossest food combo you've ever seen that you will defend? I'll ask the Wheelhouse that. Also, are the Astros a tier below the Yankees? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Razor Shark commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know what that means? It means it's a Luis García.
Yeah, but he's pitching game two, and game one hasn't started yet. Yeah. So shouldn't we have a song for Christian Javier?
Brendan just told you before
I'm doing this for the listener's sake, Jeremy.
That Christian Javier doesn't have a song.
I don't do shows for Brendan unless Jim Henson and his puppets want to do a sideshow.
We all do shows.
That's true.
Under the direction of Brendan Riley.
The one salvageable wheel on the bus is with us.
The only person who does shows for Brendan is Mike Valenti up in Detroit. That's his guy right there.
He does like Mike Valenti and Paul Gallant. He has posters.
He's got man love for Paul Gallant.
Brad Kellner. Yeah, he loves Paul Gallant.
There's posters in his room.
Huge Paul Gallant fan. He says he loves him more than any other personality on this radio station.
And because of him, he's starting to love cats.
Even though he disagrees with him a lot, he says he never agrees with anything Paul has to say, but he loves him more than any other host on this station.
It's got to hurt.
Not surprising.
I don't really care.
Okay.
No. I just do what Brendan says.
No, we hate each other. Yeah. We just do good shows together, so that's why it works.
If Brendan tells me not to be upset with Brendan, then I'm not upset with Brendan.
People don't realize you guys don't talk off the air at all. Like, you guys hate each other.
That's not true.
Yeah, you've got your phone numbers blocked and everything.
Yeah. I mean, you're not far off, but that's not true.
I deleted him off Instagram the other day. I hear that's a thing.
I saw Bob Nightingale tweet that out, so I guess I should have assumed it was wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Fact. Or Jeff Passan.
Him too.
Twitch is saying that Granato said that you had some sort, because you were out the other day. Glad to see that you're feeling well. But apparently he said that you were, what did he say that you had?
What did Granato say that I had?
Yeah, are you aware of this?
I'm not.
Apparently our Twitch is saying that Granato either said that you had monkeypox or pink eye.
If it was both.
Jeez.
I don't know if that'd be good for us.
Would that be monkey eye?
Or
don't Google pink monkey.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do that.
That's a different story.
No.
And one that you don't want to open that can of worms on.
Yeah, that and blue waffle are two things you should avoid Googling on the worst server.
It was socks on the other one.
It's okay to do it on the non-work servers, though?
Yeah, sure.
But make sure your wife doesn't have a problem with it.
So in case the Astros are in a save situation today, Ryan Presley's not going to be available. He went on paternity leave. And speaking of Paul Gallant, our very dear friend, he says if you're an athlete, shouldn't you at least try to have kids during your off season?
If you plan that far ahead, there's something wrong with you.
So I'll give Ryan Presley and his wife some credit. I think they were planning on having the baby the night of the ESPYs, so he didn't have to miss any time or any sports at all. It's the one sports night of the year where there's no sports. So
but
I think they were going for this.
Right? They had Hunter, the baby, last night, but he's still out.
Yeah, well, maybe they were trying for a couple of days before. I don't know. My question is, do we need to question Ryan Presley's commitment to the team for taking days off?
He took the right day
come
off.
Back?
I mean, he didn't.
Took the right day off. It's not the postseason.
Let's not judge him until we see. If he takes a week and a half off, now we're talking about a different story. If he's back by the end of the weekend, that's probably okay.
Okay. If he doesn't make the trip to Seattle, though, Click Ryan Presley, does he hate the Astros?
Click said he's going to make the trip to Seattle. He said he's going to fly up to Seattle after, I don't know, he didn't say what day, because I mean, it could be Friday, it could be Sunday.
I think it's more like a Saturday thing.
Yeah, so I don't know.
At the earliest.
Click did say he's going to join the team in Seattle, so maybe Presley would just miss a game or two. I don't care. Like, I think you were being silly there. I can't quite tell with you. You always fool me and deke me, which is great on your part. But I'm pretty sure you were joking. If a dude misses a regular season game for the birth of their child, totally okay with that. Yep. I don't even think it's okay for a postseason game.
We talked about this. I think, especially when you're playing a professional sport, 2 and 3 weeks might be egregious, unless there's special circumstances.
Sure.
But I totally get it if you miss a series because your wife, especially if it's your first child, but it doesn't matter. On any birth of your child, you should... everybody should be completely okay with you missing a series.
We're talking about baseball, too. Baseball goes on forever.
You know the one that fought me on this?
Who's that?
Mikhail. And I'll get him to talk about it more, but he's got some of the greatest stories ever about trying to tell his wife when she should actually have the baby and be induced, and then be like, he'll be like, I'm sitting in the hospital room with her going, okay, honey, I'm good. Yep. And she finally goes, Kev, get the hell out of here because you're driving me nuts. He's like, glad you said it because I don't think I could have taken it much longer. And he just grabbed his coat and went to the arena and played.
How about that? Old school right there.
Yeah.
It was different back then.
I mean, I was there for the birth, but hey.
Yeah, I'm not missing a radio show for the birth of my kid.
We're playing the Knicks tonight.
Yeah. My wife's got to have the kid at a better time. She knows my hours of work. There are only 4 of them per day. You got to have the kid at a better time.
I would gladly miss a radio show for the birth of my kid. Something that I would struggle with, though, like if it's a Final Four game, I'm going to be – that's a struggle for me. That is going to be a struggle. Like if U of H plays in a national championship game, something like that – that would be very, very difficult for me.
This is the rest of your life versus maybe one of the best moments in your life.
But they're both once in a lifetime.
You don't know that.
Potentially.
If you got Kelvin, you might be there multiple times.
Or if I have a lot of kids.
I was going to say, the other thing that people aren't going to take lightly to, but it's going to be true, is if it's the birth of your first, you're going to be with the mom and the baby. If it's the birth of your third, you're going to be like, been there, done that. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, you already have a kid. You know,
and
you
you're so comfortable with your wife at that point, and it's still good enough that you're having another kid. Yeah. You're like, she'll get over this.
Yeah, I'm glad mine's having one in August, so I don't have to worry about that. So I guess to Paul's point.
Evidently well played by you.
Yeah, according to Paul's, like I followed Paul's genius philosophy here. You know, had a little bit of, I don't know how much thought I had in it, but it played out. It played out just fine. What is the worst food combo, BK, that you do? That's a good start.
Man, I'm not that weird with my food. I'm really not. It's probably disappointing to a lot of people.
Just tons of McDonald's.
Just lots of fast food, not like putting a whole time and effort into cooking it.
Yeah, like I'll combine fast food items. Like I'll just put stuff inside other stuff, but I feel like other people do that.
Like
I'll put a McChicken inside like a double cheeseburger.
Oh, like when McDonald's was doing that not on the menu
deal? Like I'll do stuff like that all the time.
Will you go cross fast food place, though? Like will you put a McChicken and a Texas double Whopper.
Mm.
So I put a Crunchwrap inside a Big Mac once. Crunchwrap Supreme inside a Big Mac. There's an intersection in Austin close to UT that had Taco Bell, Whataburger, McDonald's, and Popeyes all right next to each other. We'd call it the Four Corners. And I would just always get something from one of each of those places. And that was probably
Consuming in itself, just making sure you hit off. And if there's a line in any of the drive-thrus. Now, the bigger question is once you put the time into that, how much time did you have to put into how much time you were going to be in the bathroom?
I didn't think about
that's a sunk cost.
I was too baked to have thoughts like that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's...
Blame it on that.
That was killing the time in the drive-thru line.
Sell baked chicken at one of those places?
Yes.
Somewhere in the Four Corners?
Talk about the baked Lay's chips, actually. I was down at a lot of those. Had an impact on me.
What about other ones? What other ones that you've heard of?
God, like the weird ones I've seen... seen pickles and peanut butter.
I was going to say, pickles is a big one.
Yeah, I've seen people like dip pickles into peanut butter.
Pickles in peanut butter?
I think it's disgusting. Man, cream cheese. People dip a lot of weird stuff into cream cheese, too.
I can't do cream cheese.
Talking about American pie? Or?
Yeah, that too. I'd prefer that over some of the other stuff. Like, I feel like I've seen people put like Doritos in cream cheese, which I think is kind of weird.
Like, see, I just don't like cream cheese. I don't like the texture. The texture
on a bagel?
Strawberry
cream cheese is fantastic.
Only cream cheese I'll have is strawberry cream cheese on a bagel.
Oh, here's one. AC is a fan of applesauce and pizza. Like, he dips his pizza in applesauce. It's a real thing.
I remember y'all talking about this.
It's just solidifying a lot for me.
Yeah, I went home and tried it once. It was not good.
Is that healthy?
See, I don't dislike.
Yes.
AC smiling and giggling. I don't know if you're being serious.
No,
man.
That's serious.
I don't mind.
He verified it.
I like applesauce whenever I'm like sick. Like if I can't, you know, whenever you can't eat and you're like, you need something in
soda
your body.
Crackers.
Yeah, but sometimes that's too like, it's almost too much. Like I need something like soft. I need something that's not going to make me feel even worse.
Grilled
like
cheese.
I go to, that's too heavy.
No.
Grilled cheese when you're
it's
sick
not.
And you have a like a woozy stomach.
It'll settle it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Grilled cheese? Anyways.
Taco Bell usually settles the stomach.
No way.
Yep.
Anyways, that's usually the only time I have applesauce. And never with something else in it.
Yeah. I don't need applesauce that much.
You a big Rocky Mountain Oyster guy?
No. No. I won't try that. I'll try most
either.
Foods. I won't try those. Disgusting. I also won't try the grasshoppers in Seattle if I ever go.
That's
to
the
it.
One that we didn't bring up yet. That I was because remember Julia when the first time they went to Seattle when they offered it was trying that and trying some of their other creations. Yeah, I'm not eating bugs.
I would try it. I would try the.
I'm not Bear Grylls, and we're not in the wilderness. You didn't just completely dump and run on me.
Yeah,
I'm not eating grasshoppers.
You're not alone on an island trying to survive.
Yeah, no, have you seen the new version of that? By the way, he takes these
Survivor?
Famous people out in the middle of like nowhere and he hangs with them. And he doesn't tell them when he's going to leave them. And then all of a sudden, in a moment's notice, he's gone. And like Anthony.
What are you talking about?
There's a show with Bear Grylls where he takes famous people out in the wilderness. And basically, without telling them when, he just basically goes. They turn like they're going through a forest. And also the
gone.
Guy turns around and he's not there anymore. And he's like, I mean, at least he could have said goodbye. And he's like, now you're on the own for 48 hours.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
You can watch it.
I will.
Somewhere.
Okay. Every now and then I'll that show Alive on Netflix. I think they just throw them on an island. You have to survive, and you have to be the last one standing.
Is it legit?
Yeah, yeah. That one's pretty good. Okay. That one's pretty good. Are the Astros a tier below the Yankees, BK?
No, absolutely not. Saw that article. Heard y'all talking about it. It's ridiculous. All right, the Astros with their JV squad a couple of weeks ago beat the Yankees A team.
That's
and they've
right.
owned them in the playoffs. I know there's some new faces. I know the Yankees have the best record. They're on the same tier. There's no way there's a distinguishable tier gap.
You have a co-host that might fight you on that.
Teams. I know. Well, if this game at 3:05 goes the way that I have a hunch it's going to go, then I don't know if he will.
That and what else is coming up on the Wheelhouse?
Well, the food conversation, we're going to try the Will Levis mayo and coffee.
You are trying it?
Yeah, all three of us. So Cody's out today. I think I gave
Andrew won't because it's fattening.
I think I gave him pink pox or whatever the hell y'all called it. Or whatever Granado called it, but 6:30 we'll be trying the mayo
man.
And coffee bit. So definitely check that.
I hope somebody sets you up for an evening of hell.
I hope somebody's ready to go for the 6:45 segment. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. The Will House is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.